Before we listen to our scripture reading for today, I invite you to bow your heads in prayer. Lord our God, we indeed want to become better Christians. We indeed want to follow you and your Son more closely and with more obedience. And we thank you for this wonderful opportunity to be in your presence with one another and online. And as we now await your word and your message for us, I pray that your Spirit will open our hearts and our minds to receive your word, that you will bless us greatly this morning with your message. We pray this in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. So Ephesians chapter 4 verse 25 through 5 verse 2. So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. How we talk reveals a lot about who we are. And talk is certainly not cheap, like some people say. So I want you to imagine a person comes up to you and says this, okay? I was out driving the other day when I had a punctured tire. I pulled off to the verge and opened the boot, and there was no spare, so I opened the bonnet. Fortunately, a lorry driver saw the raised bonnet and stopped to help me out. Now, if you follow that, you've likely spent some time in the British Isles, or like me, you grew up in South Africa, where the English language tends to follow the Queen's English. Winston Churchill once said, "The English and Americans are two great peoples divided by a common language." And this is a case in point. So an American translation goes something like this. I was out driving the other day when I had a flat tire, and I pulled off to the shoulder and opened the trunk, and there was no spare, so I opened the hood, and fortunately a truck driver saw the raised hood and stopped to help me out. Did that make more sense to some of you? Now, the way we talk can also reveal something about how committed we are as Christ followers. And it has nothing to do with accent or vocabulary or grammar. It has everything to do with how we use the God-given gift of speech. For instance, do our words hurt or do they heal? Do they work in service to the truth Or do they work in service to falsehood? Do our words build up or do they tear down? And these are some of the concerns we read about in chapters 4 and 5 of Ephesians. Because what we have here is basically a collection of miscellaneous ethical advice that Paul gives to God's people who lived in Ephesus. And many of these instructions can help us understand as well how Christians should talk to one another and how Christians should talk to other people. So let me highlight some of these and go a little bit deeper into each one of them. And the first is this call to put away falsehood. Or another way of putting it is to stop telling lies. To stop lying and tell the truth. It says in verse 25, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Put away falsehood. Speak the truth. I mean, it sounds like a no-brainer, right? As Christians, we are supposed to speak the truth, and everybody knows that. It's the way we raise our children. And we like to imagine ourselves as fundamentally trustworthy people. But maybe not so fast. Because sometimes we are led to ask the question Pontius Pilate famously asked. What is truth? So what about the infamous little white lies that we tell, where we intend to not hurt another person's feelings? What about when the dental hygienist asks me how often I floss? I never tell the truth on that one. What about the expenses that we deduct from our tax returns? So what I'm saying is that telling the truth isn't always so straightforward and simple, is it? And over the last few years, I mean, the peddling of untruths on social media and even on the national stage has taken on a whole new level. And if we allow the things we say or do and follow them with rationalizations and explanations like, you know, I'm only human. Or everybody does it. Or I did what I had to. Or it's only business. Or if I don't do it, somebody else will. Or it's really, you know, a victimless crime. Or I was only following orders. And by the way, nobody's perfect. If we do that, we're already in deep water. Because you see, speaking the truth always and everywhere is one of the most important ways to talk like a Christian. The only problem is we fail that simple test almost every day. And so the question is, can any of us ever aspire to perfect truthfulness? Because it seems like it's part and parcel of our sinful nature to bend the truth from time to time. And so maybe the best we can hope for in this life is that those little ethical alarms keep going off so we can hear them. And keep that goal of truthfulness ever before us. Because if we don't, we get into trouble. Because as God's people, we need to put away falsehood. But here's another instruction on how to talk like a Christian. Be angry, but do not sin. Don't get so angry that you sin. Now it says in verse 26, be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Be angry, but do not sin. So the Bible says, be angry. Now this might seem strange to, you know, us, because most of us have been taught that anger is always unchristian, that anger should be avoided at all cost. Many of us have been taught that the most important characteristic of a Christian is to be nice, to not make waves, to smile a lot, to be soft-spoken, and truth be told, to almost be like a doormat. I don't know if you've ever watched the cartoon series on TV, The Simpsons. Simpsons was one of my favorite shows when I was in my 20s. In any case, there's this character, Ned Flanders. And half the power tools in Homer's garage belong to Ned. Homer borrowed most of them a long time ago, but never returned them. Nor does he have any intention of returning them. He has even scratched out Ned's name on some tools and written his own. But still, Homer keeps walking up to the fence asking Ned if he can borrow his latest gadget. And what does Ned unfailingly say in reply? Oakley dokley, neighbor. Now, Ned is portrayed on this show as always reading his Bible. But he very possibly overlooked Ephesians 4:26, where it says, be angry, but do not sin. I mean, you'd almost think that the Bible considers it normal for Christians to get angry. And maybe you're surprised by that, but it seems like the Bible does consider it normal for Christians to get angry. Nowhere in all of the ethical instructions Jesus gives to his disciples will you find the command, be nice, in the way Ned Flanders is unfailingly nice. It's a distortion of the New Testament to equate all anger with sin. Because even Jesus got angry himself. Mark tells us how Jesus got angry at the Pharisees. It says in chapter 3:5, he looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at their hardness of heart, because the Pharisees have been objecting to Jesus' plan to heal a man's crippled hand on the Sabbath. Now we all know the incident where Jesus cleansed the temple. He strides through the temple courtyard, overturning the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sell sacrificial doves. And then in Mark 11:17, he cries out, my temple will be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you've turned it into a den of thieves. Those are fighting words. In John's version of the story, Jesus is cracking a whip made of cords. There's nothing especially nice about that. The difference in both these cases, compared to the situations in which we typically feel our anger boiling over, lies in the reasons for the anger, the reasons. Because most of the time when we find ourselves raising our voices and getting red in the face, it's because we feel personally injured or abused in some way. Somebody just squeezed into the parking space ahead of us. Or a co-worker just fired off a flaming email. Or the person ahead of us in the express line has 16 items in the cart except instead of 10 of them. So we feel injured, and so we respond by getting angry. Whenever the Bible speaks approvingly of anger, the object of the anger is not our own precious sense of injury, but rather injury or injustice inflicted on another person. When Jesus gets mad at the Pharisees, it's because that poor man with the crippled hand may not get healed because of legalism. And when he swings that whip of cords in the temple courtyard, it's on behalf of all the poor and devout pilgrims who are getting swindled by a corrupt system. So you see, there is something like righteous anger. And righteous anger brings about reforms and change, like the abolishment of slavery, or fighting against human trafficking or child labor. And it is a lot easier to put your hands over your heads and hum, pretending, you know, this sort of thing doesn't go on in this world or even in our country, but they exist. And righteous anger is needed to bring about change. And so a Christian could be forgiven for swinging a whip of cords in response to situations like these. But the letter to the Ephesians moves on to give us some practical advice on how to manage anger, whether it be righteous or otherwise. And so it says, do not let the sun go down on your anger. Don't let your anger control you. Don't hang on to it obsessively. Don't go to bed angry. That's good advice for any relationship, as well as social reform movements. Because those who live their lives driven by anger eventually pay a bitter, bitter personal price. I don't know, maybe you've heard this quote from Frederick Buchner's book, Wishful Thinking. He says, of the seven deadly sins, anger is possibly the most fun. To lick your wounds, to smack your lips over grievances long past, to roll over your tongue the prospect of bitter confrontation still to come, to savor to the last toothsome morsel both the pain you are given and the pain you are giving back. In many ways, it's a feast fit for a king. The chief drawback is that what you are wolfing down is yourself. And the skeleton at the feast is you. So get angry for the right reasons, but don't let the sun go down on your anger. And then Ephesians 4 says something else about how to talk like a Christian. It says, speak kind words that build up. Speak words that give grace to those who hear it. It says in verse 29, let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up. And the translation evil as an evil talk is actually a bit of a cleaned up version. In the original Greek, the word literally means something like putrid, as in rotting fish. So you may think that this passage must be about profanity or obscenity. But if you read on, you'll find the letter writer has something very different in mind. He says in verse 31, put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander together with all malice. I mean, that's quite a list. But let me zoom in just a little bit on one or two of these words. Bitterness. Bitterness is a type of talk that keeps calling back to mind experiences of hurt or pain, some of which are better left alone. I mean, it's possible to revel, or maybe I should say grovel, in victimhood. We've all known injured people who just can't let it go. Some people go to their graves feeling bitter for the way their parents or their spouses or their children failed them. Or they castigate themselves for some missed opportunity decades in the past. Bitter talk, when it continues for a very long time, can cause you emotional harm. Not to mention misery for everyone who has to listen to your complaints all the time. And so Paul says, put away bitterness, put it away. And put away slander and malice. Don't gossip and don't use social media to make a slanderous remark. The speed with which a slanderous remark can make the rounds these days is breathtaking. And your malicious words or hateful feelings can cause great, great damage. And Paul says, no, that's not the way. That's not the way God's people talk. Instead, it says in verse 32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. That's the sort of talk Christians should really engage in, to be kind and merciful instead, and to forgive others, just as God, by the way, forgave you because of Christ. Engage in positive talk that builds up. Say only what helps. And make your words a gift. That is the counterweight to the anger and slander and all the rest that is so common these days. Because you see, the building blocks of true Christian conversation are kindness and compassion and sensitivity and forgiveness. And by the way, it's not a weakness to talk like that. It's not syrupy niceness. It's not being a doormat. No, filling our mouths with positive and affirming talk is a strong and grateful response to the forgiveness and grace we've ourselves received from Jesus Christ. So they say, you know, talk is cheap. Not this kind of talk, though. Kind, compassionate, caring discourse is the rarest of commodities amidst the the soul-destroying hate speech all around us. And it's the type of speech Christ calls those of us who follow him to express. It's how we talk like a Christian. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we praise you and we thank you for your word and we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for these words of Paul. And Father, I'd be the first today to acknowledge and confess that my words don't always lift up, that my words can be very critical and harsh, that I often hang on to things that I need to let go, that my anger is often for reasons that are just because I'm personally injured or offended. Thank you for assuring us that there is something like righteous anger and that we need to get angry about certain things in this world. But help us also not to hang on to our anger and not to go to bed angry, but to manage our anger. And Father, we know that our words can cut like a sword, whether it be in person or something we post or a text we send off or even the things we say in our own minds. We seek your forgiveness for that, and we pray that your spirit and your love will enable us to build up with our words, to be kind with our words, to be compassionate, to be tender and sensitive, and to use our words as a gift. We pray for this in the name of Jesus. Amen.